Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Good to be here tonight. I'll tell you something. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's what a watchman does. Watchman's not needed until the enemy shows up. Amen. Otherwise, he's just a guy standing on the wall. I don't know why this bothers me the way it does, but it makes me mad. It makes me mad, okay? I don't like liberalism. I don't like socialism. I don't like communism. I don't like any of that stuff. I think people ought to be free. I think they ought to be able to make money their own way, how they want to do it. Yes. I think people ought to, within reason, I think people ought to raise their kids how they want to raise their kids. Yeah. Amen? Okay? Let me tell you what makes America great. Okay? Is that this nation was settled by families. Families. Families, what made this country great. Families left the East, and families came this way and built this country. It was a mom and dad. By the way, this gets me too. There was, I can't remember the story. I had it printed out. There was some high school gal that painted a mural.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes.
And it showed a child on there with a mother and a father. And they had wedding rings on it. It was a mural, a painting. And one of the school officials wants it covered up. They want it covered up because it might send the wrong message to some children of a child having a married mother and father. It doesn't allow for, okay? It's weird. But anyway, this nation was settled by families as they came from east, traveling west. They would set up places, set up little towns, stores would pop up, families run the stores. You had a cobbler in a town. You know, if you don't know what that is, that's a shoe guy. Guy that makes shoes and repairs shoes. And you had a banker, and you had a general merchandise store, and you had a just trade going on. They were run by families. You had families that would go out and they would farm land. That was whole families that would did that. My grandpa, Jesse Doyne Hoggard, was part of a family of, I think, 13 children. Two girls. Okay? 11 boys. Jesse, Amer, Epom, Onus, Orton. Don't you? That's my family. That sounds like Ardell, Burnell, Raynell, W.L., O'Nell, Odell, Udell, Marcel. Okay. But they grew up on a sharecropping farm. And what that was, a company owned the land. And they farmed the land. And the company got a part of the crop. The family got the rest of the crop. That worked for a while until, the 30s. And that just didn't work anymore. But mom and daddy didn't work that farm alone by themselves. They used Jesse and Epom and Onus and Amer and Orton and Urban and Lowell and Chloe. What was the other girl's name? Chloe and Lois, I think. They used those children to work on that farm to bring in, to keep the family living. Children to this day that are raised on farms, you ought to admire those kids. Those kids know how to work. They grow up learning how to milk cows, learning how to put a bucket under a cow, learning how to feed chickens. They grow up learning how to fix machinery. They grow up learning how to do those things. And those kids, some of the best kids in America, the 4-H kids, amen? I mean, these kids are, okay, these are American young people. A proposal from the Obama administration to prevent children from doing farm chores has drawn plenty of criticism from rural district members of Congress, but now it's attracting barbs and from farm kids themselves. The Department of Labor is poised to put the finishing touches on a rule that would apply child labor laws to children working on family farms prohibiting them from performing a list of jobs on their own family's land. Here is the line, and here is the government, and the government should not step over the line. Okay? Now, some people don't like that kind of talk, but where's it going to stop? Where is it going to stop? That, to me, is the stupidest thing that I've heard in a long time. Okay? Under the rules, children under 18 could no longer work, in quote, in the storing, marketing, and transporting of farm product raw materials. Those children cannot work on that farm. Prohibited places of employment, a department press release said, would include country, grain elevators, grain bins, silos, feedlots, stockyards, livestock exchanges, and livestock auctions. No kids allowed at the auctions. You ask any of these kids that work on these farms, that was the fun they had all week long, getting to go to the auction. Okay? That's exactly right. It goes too far. Amen?
Yes.
Goes too far. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to stop it. I don't know what's going to stop it. Anyway, I saw that today and it made me mad. Okay? But then I read the Bible and I got glad. Amen? Hebrews chapter 5, moving into chapter 6. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer tonight. Appreciate you coming. Good to be here. I'm working on a really, really good headache. Amen. I'm drawing one up really good here. But it's been a good day. Recorded a Bible study today. Recorded 2 hours worth of Watchman broadcast today. And that'll be ready. Lindsay's supposed to come in tomorrow and start work on it. And it'll be part two of a series I'm doing on the giants in the Bible. And I'm just using the King. I've done 4 hours now of video and never had to get out of the King James Bible one time. And I'm not done. There's more to it than what there's more in this Bible than I can pull out in a lifetime. And I'm doing everything I can to pull everything out I can to squeeze every drop out of this Bible. And I won't be able to do it in a lifetime. That makes me sad. There's so much in here, and once God turned me on to it, I just don't understand why people would want to walk away from the Bible. I cannot comprehend that. The Pope issued an edict last week that basically said that God is not limited to speaking solely from the written Bible. Okay? That he speaks in many, many, many other ways. Okay? No, he doesn't. Not according to what I read here. This is how he speaks. And this is what we're going to learn tonight. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, teach us your word. Teach us doctrine. Lord, there are some people, Lord, that are here tonight, that are watching tonight, that will be watching this later on. Lord, there are some people still, Lord, that are hungry for doctrine. They're hungry for the word. They're hungry for knowledge and understanding because they need wisdom in their life. And they know, God, that the more they learn from the scriptures, the better off their life will be. It's, Lord, when we're in ignorance and we won't learn and when you can't teach us, God, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. So, Lord, we find ourselves to be, because of the experiences of our life, because of mistakes that we have made, because of foolishness that we have gotten into, God, we find ourselves being hungry for teaching us knowledge and wisdom and understanding, God, so that we learn not only from our mistakes, we learn from mistakes from people, Lord, in the Bible that made terrible mistakes. We learn from that. So, Lord, teach your people. Find some people, God, to teach them doctrine, to give them understanding, Lord, so that they will know the times that we live in, God. We're prepared. You've recreated us and made us new in knowledge. And, Father, Lord, just develop us tonight as disciples of you. Teach us these pure words. Bless us, Lord, tonight. We thank you, God, Lord, for being so good to us, for blessing us the way you have. Lord, help us to never take anything for granted, but, Lord, to always be thankful for what we have. Father, our country is in bad shape. It needs help. It needs you, God. I don't have the answers, but Lord, I know that you do. So Lord, we commit this unto you tonight. Bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I have so many places I want to run to tonight. Just hold your place there in Hebrews, and I'm going to read something very quickly out of the book of Isaiah. God is searching. He's looking throughout the world. He's going to and fro in the world, and he's looking for something. Let me find it here. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. The Bible says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" God is asking a question. Who hath believed our report? And that is the report of the Bible. Who's going to believe this Bible? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know what the arm of the Lord represents? It represents salvation. In other words, to whom is the arm of the... How is it that God, with his mighty right arm, how is it that God is going to save people? And so if you know anything about the Bible, you know that Isaiah 53 is that chapter, a prophecy given, you know, hundreds of years before, I have a note in here, 712 BC, at least 700 years before Christ, we have a prophecy of everything that happened to him on the cross here in Isaiah 53. It's prophesied, and God is looking for some people who'll just believe what he said. He's looking for people that he can teach doctrine to. Hebrews chapter 5. We covered some of this last week, and I want to kind of go through this and then move into Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 does not have to be contentious, okay? And there doesn't have to be any misunderstanding of the Word of God if you will just simply stick with the Word of God, and that's what we're going to do. So in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." The oracles of God are the Bible. Okay? Ora means to, it means spoken, it means speech. Okay? From the mouth. The oracles of God is your Bible. So we teach the first principles of the oracles of God. Those of you who have not been saved very long or just new to church, then we teach you foundational principles. We teach you like I would teach a child. Okay? I teach a child, look, you've done things wrong. God says you're going to go to hell for doing things wrong. But God can forgive your sins. Jesus paid the price for you. Would you like to have your sins forgiven? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Okay, pretty simple. And it really doesn't have to get any more complicated from that. Paul warned us about those who would remove us from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, as long as you stay in the Bible and study it, it turns out to be pretty simple. In fact, the most profound things that I have ever seen in the Bible turn out to be the simplest things that are right here in the pages of the book. It gets complicated when we go outside of the book and we start having to have man's words applied to it, man's words trying to teach us things. Men will mess things up. God's word tends to be pretty simple here. So he's looking for people to teach the first principles of the oracles of God. But naturally, there has to be some teachers. People who have already learned these oracles, these principles, people that have already sort of learned some of the doctrines and are versed in them, they are the ones that can teach. For when the time ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Look at verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The Bible teaches that there are babes. The Bible teaches that there are mature people, grown adults in Christ, okay? And it's just a process. It's just like what happens in normal life. When a baby's born, they don't know a whole lot. We're trying to teach them. They're trying to learn things. They learn how to walk, how to talk, how to use language, how to use their hands. That is a natural function of growth. And I will tell you that there's a lot to be said about how to grow as a Christian. Well, how does a plant grow? Think about it. Okay? When you add enough water and you add enough light and you add enough food, that plant's going to grow.
Amen.
Amen? When the plant, you all know this, if you take a some kind of black tarp and lay it over a patch of grass, what's going to happen in a few weeks? It's going to die. Why? It's not getting any light. It's not getting any food. It's not getting any moisture. It's going to die. That's what happens when people come to church. And then all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. What happened? They quit getting light in their soul. They quit getting fed. They quit watering themselves with the water of the Word. They cut, all those things was cut off out of their life, and they never grow. They'll die. By the way, that's what happens. If you don't grow, you will die. You know that, don't you? You can't be a spiritual baby all your life. And I'm afraid that in too many churches in this world, we got too many babies sitting around that are unskilled in the Word. And I'm going to challenge you as your pastor, as your friend, as your brother in Christ. I'm going to challenge you. Know this Bible. Know what it says. Read this book. Because I can tell you the wolves are out looking for the babes. The lion is out looking for those that are unskilled in the Word. Because, and I'll tell you this, okay? And I don't know if these guys can back me up, but I had, when I was in college, I had a boss that I worked for in a t-shirt shop. She was a Jehovah's Witness. Dyed in the wool, hardcore. You know what she used to be before that, Brady? Southern Baptist Sunday School teacher. Southern Baptist Sunday School teacher. You know what happened? She was unskilled in the Word. They had put her in a position she was not ready for. And she was unskilled in the Word. And the wolves came in after her, got her. And she wouldn't let me talk to her. In fact, she fired me. She didn't like me. Not because of my religious belief. I was a lousy t-shirt maker, okay? I had that one coming. Anyway, never could get the letters straight. Anyway, but anyway, learn this Bible. Read this Bible. You say, I don't understand it. Read it again. Yeah. Well, I don't understand it. Second, read it again. It's English. Yes. Everybody here speaks English. Amen? Then read the book. And all of a sudden, here's what will happen. The Holy Ghost will start locking things in place for you. You'll understand that when you see a shepherd standing here, and a big giant guy who the Bible calls a lion and a leopard, or a bear, standing here, you understand that you're seeing more than just a historical play. You're looking at the shepherd, and you're looking at the beast right here. You read the Bible, you'll understand those things. You'll get it. Okay, God will start piecing things together for you. I talked about that today in the Watchman broadcast. That'll be coming up this weekend. But I'm just telling you, learn this Word and grow. Grow thereby. Get some water, get some sunlight in you and grow. Everyone, verse 13 again, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'd like for you to take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 28. I want you to notice that you can discern both good and evil. Okay? Turn to Isaiah 28. This is a wonderful, wonderful chapter in the Bible that teaches you about the blessings of learning doctrine and the consequences for not. The consequences for not. Isaiah 28. Notice verse 1, it says, there's a woe to the crown of pride to the drunkards of Ephraim. By the way, just simple language. Okay, let's just take a word right here. The word woe. Okay? Did you know that in the book of Revelation, there are three woes that are poured out on the earth when the trumpets sound? Okay? You know what I think? I think this is connected to that by way of the word woe. You see, if you keep it simple and you all keep it in the same Bible, instead of, and somebody else again writes me and says that their pastor said that they just really feel like that God's voice can be heard through all the translations. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you should stick with one. Amen. Amen. And it's consistent all the way through. When you see a woe to the crown of pride to the drunkards of Ephraim, go study Revelation chapter 8. You'll see the woes and what woe is coming upon them for their drunkenness. That's what you'll see. See how simple that is? Just apply the words. Look for the words. I want you to look at verse 7. But they have also erred... through wine and through strong drink. Let me give you a little principle here. You study this out. You write this down in the little side areas of your Bible and write down the words wine and strong drink. Okay? Do a study of those words in the Bible. Strong drink. Go to a search engine, a Bible search engine like eSort, or we send out copies of Quick Verse, and look up the phrase strong drink and follow it all through the Bible. You'll find that strong drink and wine indicate false doctrine, false understanding. How many of you believe that? So how many of you in here has ever been drunk? Okay? You don't see things straight, do you?
No.
Do you? You don't see straight. You don't understand the way things really are. Okay? And so that's what wine and strong drink will do to your physical brain. What do you think spiritual wine and spiritual strong drink will do to your soul? It'll cause you the same thing. You will err. You will err through wine and through strong drink, or out of, notice that word, out of what? The way. What is it that they called Christianity in the book of Acts? The way. Who is Jesus, by the way? He is the way. And so when you are full of wine and strong drink, guess what you are out of? You're out of the way. By the way, that applies both to spiritual and physical drink. I do not endorse, condone, advertise for, take money from, or any other use of alcoholic beverages, wine and strong drink, beer. I don't think you ought to have them. I don't think you ought to drink them. Amen? I think if you have them in your home, you ought to go home tonight, pray about it, get under conviction, and pour them down the drain. That's what I think you ought to do. Those things will kill you. Those things will kill your neighbor. They'll kill somebody that you've never met on the highway somewhere. It's a wonder it hadn't happened to you already. It's happened to thousands, millions of people all over this country, dead or guilty of someone's death because of wine and strong drink. I think you're a fool. Amen? I think that's exactly what you are. You're playing little games. I may not be talking to anybody here. I'm talking about maybe 100, 200 people out there on the internet. Amen. I'm telling you that if you're having a problem with this stuff, then you get some help. You give it over to the Lord and ask God to deliver you. But I'm telling you, you're trying to play this little game that says, well, Jesus made wine. I'm so sick of hearing that.
Yeah.
You're trying to justify what you're doing by the Bible, and God does not condone it. The same way with spiritual drunkenness. Same way with altered states of consciousness. Lost, slain in the spirit. You know what that is? It's drunkenness. Okay? The Rodney Howard Brown and the Pensacola Outpouring and Toronto Blessing and all that stuff, where they go in the church service, everybody's collapsing, people's fainting, doing all kinds of weird stuff all over the stage. You know what they are? They're drunk. Spiritually drunk. And you know what that means? They're out of the way. That is not the Holy Spirit of God. I taught this one on the Prophecy Club tour. And Stan Johnson said to me, well, you know what my wife said? And I said, what? My wife said, obviously he's never been drunk in the Spirit. And I said, yeah, I never have. Amen. Obviously you have. Okay? I knew I wouldn't last long with them. They have erred through wine and through strong drink or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. You know, see that word err? E-R-R-E-D? That means that when they see the Bible, they see errors. When I look in the Bible, I don't see any errors.
Amen.
I don't see any mistakes.
Through,
erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness. Look at here. Look at here. What do we call this? The communion table. Okay? And once a year, about once a year, we serve a table in this church. It is the bread and the blood of Jesus Christ. Or that's what it represents. Okay? Can you imagine coming in here and Brady and Bradley walking around with this thing and it's full of vomit? Okay? And I've said this to me, the only thing worse than a church that serves up vomit is the dogs in the pews that are lapping it up.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen? Listen, these preachers out there, they wouldn't have a church if it wasn't for people who wanted that kind of stuff given to them. Okay? It appeals to their flesh. It lets them live and continue in sinful lifestyles. And that's why they like it. Okay? I know people who are shacking up right now, who go to a church and they love their church and they feel comfortable in their church because their church never is going to say anything about it. I don't want to go to that church. I don't want this church to be that church. Amen? Amen. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness so that there's no place clean. Now look in verse 9. That's the effects of false doctrine. Unbiblical doctrines. If it's in the Bible, you ought to believe it. If it's not in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it if I were you. Amen. I would not believe it. Okay? Let me give you a little example. I've been teaching the last two Watchmen broadcasts. I've been teaching on the giants from the Bible. Now, there's an extra-biblical book called the Book of Enoch, okay? It is part of a group of books called Pseudepigrapha, okay? It doesn't have a pig on it, okay? Pseuda, you know what a pseudonym is? Then you give somebody a false name, okay? When I walk up to somebody and say, "Hi, I'm Jim Cedric," okay? Can I borrow some money? Okay? I've used a pseudonym. I have not used my real name. It's a fake name. The Book of Enoch has his name on it, but he didn't write it. Enoch did not write a book called the Book of Enoch. In the Book of Enoch, it talks about how these angels mated with human women, and there was 200 of them. And it talks about the exact number and all their names and what they did and what all they taught people and all this stuff. Okay? I don't believe that. You know why I don't believe it? It's not here. I don't trust it. I can't trust it. I'm not supposed to trust it. You know why? It's not in my contract. Okay? It's not there. And so therefore, I don't believe it. Now, do I believe the sons of God, daughters of men? Absolutely. I spent 2 hours talking about it today. I believe what this Bible says about it. But I don't believe it. I don't believe these other books, and I don't believe anybody except for what this Bible says. Okay, God. So that's the effects of false doctrine. God is looking for someone that he can teach knowledge to. Look at verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Remember, Isaiah 53. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? God is looking for people. And if Israel won't learn the doctrine, then God will turn his back to them and he'll find some Jims and some Sterlings and some Jimmy Carmichaels and some Roys to teach doctrine to. He'll find people that didn't go to Bible college. He'll find people that didn't even graduate high school. And he'll teach them profound things out of the Word of God that nobody else in the world will ever understand. He chooses the weak and the foolish and the base things of this world so that he can confound the wise is what he's doing. So he's just looking for some people who are not the high fluff of this world. He's looking for those kind of people to teach doctrine to. How many of you are you in? Say amen. I'm in. I want to learn something. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Notice them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You have to grow up a little bit. Okay? You have to grow up a little bit and mature. Learn, and once you get off the milk, then they can start. By the way, it has a lot to do with activity. About how old should you stop giving a baby milk and start giving it real food? When they start moving around, their body's going to require. I'm not a doctor. Maybe I'm totally wrong. But I think when the baby starts moving around a lot, starts using muscles, I think they're going to need something to back it up. Amen? Have I got the muscle part right, Bradley? Okay? He works on these things. Okay? He doesn't just sit around and drink Coca-Cola all day. Did you hear about that lady that died in Coca-Cola? Okay? 2 gallons of Coca-Cola a day, 30 cigarettes a day. That's all she did all day long. And she slumped over a heart attack and died. Left 8 kids. Okay? Now they're investigating Coca-Cola. It ain't Coca. Hey, listen, I drink Coke. I don't have a problem. Amen? Roy used to say he'd drink wine. He didn't have a problem. He'd drink, fall down, no problem. Okay? Yeah, somebody just put the hole in the wrong place. Amen? Bradley, when he works out, he doesn't just drink Coca-Cola. What do? Get some protein in you. You know what that is? That's beans and lentils and peas and meat. Get some protein in you. Get some things that'll build you up so you can stand strong. Amen? So you can stand strong. So anyway, that's who he's looking for. Then he says, for precept must be... Look at this funny phrase in the Bible. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Says it twice. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. You know what God's actually doing? He's trying to teach you how to read the Bible. Some people have asked me, Pastor Mike, how many times have you read the Bible through? And I'm going, I don't know. I have never in my life started in the book of Genesis and read through the entire Bible. I've never done that. Okay? What are you, a cheater? Well, I don't know if you call it that. You know what I'll do? I'll read a little here. And maybe some other day I'll read a little over here. But I like to study words, and I just study words, and I just go all through the Bible studying words and words and words, and I just study things out one thing after another. And I'll read something here, and that'll make me think of something, then I'll turn over here. And that's why I don't want to get rid of this Bible. It's got all my where to turn to places. Amen? Okay? Because I study here a little and there a little. And I take this line, and I add it to this line here. And I take this line and add it to, and I take this precept and I put it with this precept. And it just works that way. Because God actually designed the Bible better than what most scholars give him credit for. Amen? God actually designed the Bible so that you can read a little here, and then when you're reading a little over here, you start understanding. Brother Reg Kelly, when the night that he got saved, God called him to preach. Okay, it's an interesting story. But at that time, their church needed a preacher. And they said, you're it. And he said, I didn't know anything. He said, I've been in church all my life, didn't know anything. And he said, what I did was I'd read a little bit of the Old Testament. He said, I'd read a little bit of the New Testament. And he said, I'd read a little bit of the Old Testament, read a little bit of the New Testament. He said, you know what happened? He said, God started making things click for me. They started working together. And he said, I just started getting understanding. And that comes out in your preaching. And I'm telling you, God is looking for some people who won't mind looking around. Okay, my dad, bless his heart, and maybe I've inherited a little bit of this, but my dad was notorious for if he laid something down in the house and he went to that one spot and couldn't see it in that one spot, he would just go, I laid it right here. Where is it? I can't find it. And mom would always go, it's right here, Don. It was like 7 inches over to your right. Well, I laid it here. Amen. Okay. You know what? When you're looking for something, you look around. When Isaac gets away from you, Christina, in the store, you don't just go, well, he was right here. What do? You go looking around. Okay. Trying to find that little rat. Amen. Caleb, the same way. These little kids run off, and they're worth finding, and they're worth looking around for. Yes, amen. Seek, and ye shall find. So if reading all the way through in the Bible, now not everybody's cut out the same. Some people cannot handle moving from place to place in the Bible. They cannot handle that. They want to read everything. That's fine. Okay? Read it that way. If God has cut you out that way, then you do it that way. Okay? And then God will do the same thing because you'll be reading something. I guarantee you, once you've read the Bible through, you go through and read it again and you go, wait a minute, where was that? And you'll find it. Okay? But that's how you're going to learn doctrine. Okay? I don't mind being a teacher. I don't mind laying out a foundation. I don't mind giving you what God has given me freely. But study on your own. Read your own Bible. Okay? If you leave a Bible in your pew on Sunday, there to bear a bit of a spare copy in your house. Amen. 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 It's verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. You know how Paul rendered that in 1 Corinthians 14? With men of other tongues and other languages will I speak to this people. You know what God is establishing a doctrine here. You know what it is? That God doesn't just speak Hebrew and Greek. God doesn't just speak Hebrew and Greek. He intended all along when he wrote Israel off, when he turned his back to him, God intended to speak other languages, and he speaks English.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, when I pray in English.
Amen.
It's the only one I know. Okay? And I'm glad that God understands me in English. Okay? So verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the wayward to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Why? Because they wouldn't have the word precept upon precept. Look at verse 12. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Why? That they might go and do what? Fall in which direction? Backward. You think about that. Okay? God is giving us, is showing us visually what happens when those who are drunk and they are falling out of the way, they fall backward. Okay? And I know I hit on this a lot, but I'm telling you, because I almost fell for this. In a Pentecostal church, I was seeking, and God spared me. And I'm going to tell everybody, and I don't care who doesn't like it, I'm going to tell everybody that with everything that I've got in me, that God does not slay anybody in their spirit. He does not slay anybody. That makes God a murderer. I know who is a murderer. And it's not God. Okay? So I don't want to see anybody in here falling backward. Amen?
Amen.
I do, however, want us to fall forward at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? Worshiping Him. That they might fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Okay? So there's a falling coming. Hebrews chapter 6. That's my little lesson on doctrine. Who's going to learn doctrine? Who's going to learn these things? Okay? Somebody's got to learn them. When the whole world is chasing out after dreams and visions and experiences and music and cool stuff in the church, when everybody else is going after the sweet candy of modern churches, somebody's going to have to sit down and chew on some meat and get fed by it. Who will it be? Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, he's not condemning these doctrines. These are foundational doctrines that every Christian should be established on. Your life, your salvation in the Lord should be established upon repentance. Somebody say amen. If you say you got saved and you've never repented, I don't know. I don't know. Okay? I don't believe you have to repent when you get saved. I just believe when you get saved, you'll repent. Amen? Stuff will start coming out of you. You listen, you just automatically just feel bad about every wicked, nasty thing you've done, and you never get over that. I have never in my life gotten over my sins. I know I've been forgiven. But I don't go a day without being sorry for what I've done.
That's right.
Not a day. Okay? But that's foundational. Faith toward God is foundation. For by grace are you saved through faith. So faith is foundation. You got to believe the Bible. You got to believe what God said. Baptism. Holy Ghost baptism is a foundational doctrine. The Holy Ghost must wash you on the inside. Water baptism is simply the visualization of what happened on the inside. Laying on of hands, which would be ordaining elders, ordaining ministers, things like that. Of resurrection from the dead, of an eternal judgment. Those are foundational doctrines. Okay? Everybody got those. Everybody understand those, right? Well, then let's move on. Let's move on. Let's learn something that maybe other people refuse to learn. Maybe other preachers refuse to preach. Let's talk about the second coming. Let's talk about prophetic things. Let's talk about Noah and the ark and the deep significance of that. Let's talk about the giants. Let's talk about these things. Let's discuss them. Let's learn doctrine. Let's move forward. Amen. Let's learn some things that maybe other people don't know. And maybe we can teach them. And this is what we do if God permits. So we're going to move forward. Okay, now, verse 4. Here we go. And I'm not going to be able to finish this tonight. Okay, this passage of Scripture, in my mind, I don't have a problem with what's being said here. I don't have a problem with my belief either coming into question with what's being said here. And I hope to be able to share this with you in a way that is biblically sound. So some people ask, well, are you Calvinist? No, John Calvin was not my apostle. Or you Arminian? No, Jacob Arminius was not my apostle either. My apostle was Paul. Okay? So I am not going to teach for the doctrines of God, the precepts of men. I won't do it. I'm going to teach the doctrines of God. I'm going to show you. It's actually, there's so many cool things in here. I wish I had time to get into them tonight. But I'm going to spare you all trying to hurry through them, and I'm going to teach you these things from the Word of God. Are you ready to listen? Say amen. Okay? I want you to hear me out. Okay? Hear me out. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall, and I want you to underline the words, fall away. What happens to those that won't learn doctrine? They fall away. Okay? If they shall fall away. What is it that accompanies the revelation of the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2? Falling away. That is, to me, that is so vital and so important that we understand this as the Scripture gives it. Okay? I still have people asking me, how do you feel on the post-tribulational idea of the rapture? And I always respond to that by saying, please define tribulation. Define that. Okay? Define it biblically. Show me in the Bible where it says tribulation 7 years. And I'm not being ignorant. I'm asking a question. Okay? So let's use biblical language. Okay? You're not going to find the phrase pre-tribulational rapture in the Bible. Let's use the language of the Scriptures, and that way we're always right. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
It says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And I'll just say this. I'll just get one more dig in. And I've mentioned this before. But every time a Roman Catholic Mass is performed, they're putting Christ to shame.
Amen.
An open shame. You know why? When they walk around with their crosses, who's that hanging on there? Naked and dead. That is crucifying to themselves Christ to an open shame. That is out of the way. Amen? That's wicked doctrine. Chuck Colson, you might know who he was? Chuck Colson was one of the White House gang in the days of Richard Nixon that got busted. Had to go to prison because of something that went on with Watergate. When I was a child, I was hearing of Watergate. Incidentally, at the same time, Festus in Crystal City was flooded in the 1973 flood. And I'm thinking that it had to have something to do with somebody opening the Watergate and flooding out. I did. I'm just a kid. Don't laugh at me. That's what I thought Watergate was. I thought, man, somebody's in big trouble over this. Chuck Colson passed away. Chuck Colson, supposedly, in jail, got religion. Okay? And he writes a book, you know, about how he saved and everything like that. Chuck Colson came out, oh, it was probably 15 years ago, something like that, in support, actually, I think he was one of the main leaders of it, in support of a document called Evangelicals and Catholics Together. And it was basically a document signed by evangelical leaders, including Chuck Colson, and certain priests of the Roman Catholic Church, where they said, we all worship the same God. Let's just forget about what divides us. And let's work together on what unites us and bring everybody together. Not me. Not me. Don't count me in. Okay? I don't go along with that. I'll never go along with that. I don't think that's right. Any organization that will crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and bring Him to an open shame, I'm not interested in hooking up with that organization. Okay? I'm not interested in that at all. But anyway, that's what it says. Then I want you to notice, and I want you to do some study this week. Okay? I want you to study these verses out of Hebrews chapter 6. And then verse 7, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs," or herbs, okay? Depending on what side of Grubville you're from, amen? "Herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Okay? "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." So your homework assignment is study Hebrews 6, 1 through 9. Okay? You can study the whole chapter if you want to. But Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 9. Study the language. Look at what's being said. Because I guarantee you, this chapter of the Bible does not stand alone. Its meaning and its correct understanding has witnesses all through the Bible. Amen? It's like when I'm doing the Bible study upstairs, studying Revelation, it'll take me weeks to get out of one verse. You know why? Because Revelation is an index to the whole rest of the Bible. So you cannot understand the book of Revelation just by reading the book of Revelation. You must get precept and line and here a little and there a little. And then you can understand some of the things that are written in the book of Revelation. That's why they are revealed. God is using the book of Revelation to reveal to you the whole rest of the Bible. Enjoy it. Amen? Amen. For those of you who, like me and Alicia, are attention deficit. Yeah, what? We have ADOS, attention deficit. Ooh, shiny. Okay? I probably would have been labeled attention deficit because for me to study one thing for any length of time is abnormal for me. Because I'll study a little this and I'll get tired of it and I'll get bored and I'll go study something else for a while. And I have stacks of notes everywhere on things that I used to study. But at some point I get back to it and I go, wow! Okay? So anyway, study the scriptures. Ask God to show you where to get understanding from. Okay? And then we'll all come together next Wednesday. Let's stand to our feet. You love the Lord tonight? Say amen. Are you in? Has He found some people that want to learn doctrine? Are you in? You don't want the alternative. Okay? You don't want the alternative. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, dear God, for picking us. God, we're nobodies. We're nothing. We were little kids running around bare feet. And let You picked us. You found people, God, that we just got hungry enough in life because of all the wickedness of the world. We just got hungry enough to want to learn something that's real. And Father, I thank You for those people. I thank You, Lord, for the people that are riding into our ministry and saying we've been searching all of our lives and now we see this beautiful, beautiful Bible that at one time we put away because we were told it was no good. Now we're seeing it afresh again. And God, You're looking for those people. You're searching for those people who want to know doctrine instead of just wanting to have some experience somewhere. The people that want to know. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that You would help people to know. Help them understand, God, that it's not how far they went in school that matters. It's how much they believe what You said that matters. And Lord, just help us, Lord, with our unbelief. Help us to believe more and more and more every day. And give us knowledge and give us understanding. Give us wisdom from this book. We thank You and we praise You, God, for the things that You blessed us with. Continue, Lord, to bless us so that we can stand for you in these last days. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. And we pray in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.